Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com. You knew it was a big deal when Governor Evers did the intro.
On the Tony Evers excitement scale that goes from holy mackerel and maxes out at heck yes, I am jazzed as hell to be welcoming.
I'm unclear where that is on the scale, though. Is that like a new level? Is it higher than heck yes?
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Back at the White House this morning, President Biden preparing an address to the nation.
Why did you drop out of the election?
Reporter shouting that question to the president. He was boarding Air Force One, returning from his COVID isolation in Delaware. The speech tonight expected to address that very question. ABC News senior White House correspondent Selena Wang.
This speech is going to be about his decision to drop out of this race and why he did that, as well as his plans for the rest of his term. A source close to the president tells me that he's been working on this speech for the past day and huddling with his speech writing team at the White House. I'm told that this speech is going to be emotional and coming from the president's heart.
And we will carry ABC News coverage of the president's address this evening at 7 o'clock right here on 620 WTMJ.
In West Dallas.
Tony Evers. Excitement scale that goes from holy mackerel and maxes out at heck yes. I am jazzed as hell to be welcoming
in front of 3,000 people, which was the largest so far for the campaign in the Biden-Harris campaign. Kamala Harris addressing Wisconsin, saying how important this state will be.
The path to the White House goes through Wisconsin.
Which we kind of knew, but and this was a pre-planned, like we had already had this visit on the schedule before the big breaking news and the president stepping aside over the weekend.
In fact, we're told they had to change venues at one point because they expected more people.
Hey, ABC News reporting as well that the vice president will skip today's address to Congress by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, though she is planning to meet with him privately. He's got a long list of appointments ahead.
Call it a BB blitz. After speaking to a joint meeting of Congress today, the Israeli Prime Minister will meet with President Biden at the White House tomorrow and travel to Mar-a-Lago Friday to meet with former President Trump. We're told Vice President Harris will also sit with Netanyahu at some point. Security for his speech to lawmakers today will be extremely tight, with police officers from as far away as New York heading down here to Washington to assist Capitol Police.
That's ABC's Stephen Portnoy. Netanyahu earlier this week did meet with families of Israeli Americans whose loved ones are still being held hostage by Hamas. It is 7:14. Sports coming up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
The best part of that Brewers-Cubs game was this.
1-2, line drive back up the middle and into center field for a base hit. Trotting home is Bowers. Bryce Terang delivers an RBI single, and the Brewers take a 1-0 lead.
And the second baseman, who's been scuffling a bit, scores that run, drives in that run in the eighth inning as the Brewers win 1-0 over the Cubs at Wrigley Field. A little frustrating game for Pat Murphy. Said that the young player still kind of doing some things that he questions when they're at bat.
I'd say ill-advised. Another ill-advised decision. Ill-advised. A 3-0 bunt. Ill-advised. Churio going to second with no outs. Ill-advised.
You see, you're picking up on something there?
A theme there?
But he did call it a great win. He says they battled through it. A lot of teachable moments there. The game was delayed because of rain by 90 minutes. Back at it today, 1:20 first pitch, 12:45 pregame right here at WTMJ Radio. And keep your eye on the lineup. Christian Yelich was pulled from the game in the eighth, apparently dealing with that back again. Hopefully not too bad.
So hopefully it's a few days as opposed to a few weeks. Love Watch continues this morning in Green Bay. Packers have their third training camp practice scheduled for today. Quarterback Jordan Love not practicing with the team till he gets a new contract. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur asked about that.
Yeah, any change on Jordan?
Nah, I have no updates, sir.
Did you guys have any change on Jordan?
Change on Jordan?
Nah, I have no updates, sir.
Alrighty then.
Asked and answered. Okay. Yep. There's another moment that kind of hit me odd in LaFleur's about 10 minutes with reporters prior to practice on Tuesday. kind of asked your basic training camp stuff. I mean, sure. It's day two.
We're talking about practice.
Yeah, right. So some of the questions are, how's this guy look? How's that guy look? But it's 2 days in. So he's talking about, you know, how some guys are starting to get better.
Just getting all 11, whether it's on offense, defense, or on weefense, finishing to the ball. And
you heard it too, right?
Weefense.
Offense, defense, or on weefense.
What is weefense?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, we got to investigate that.
Is that just like one of these coach speak things? Like, hey, look, defense is everybody. It's, you know, it's weefense, really, sure. Guys.
Yep. We're working together.
Imagine Vince Lombardi saying weefense. All right, fellas, it's weefense. Give me a break. Anyway, offense, defense, weefense, whatever, they'll all be out there. Open to the public practice this morning at 10:30.
Packers bloggers going crazy over the possibility of an alternate helmet being used this year. Madden 25 seems to have an alternate helmet in one of the preview videos, and it comes from a blogger who wrote about it a couple of months ago. We do have a picture of the white Packers helmet on our website. Just text the word helmet to the WTMJ talking text line, 855-616-1620. I'm curious. So far, it's been a little meh in the reaction to it, but a white road helmet. Also, a couple of quick Olympics things. Tennis player Coco Gauff is going to join LeBron James as a flag bearer in the opening ceremonies, and Salt Lake City is going to host the 2034 Winter Games.
Coming up next, we're going to talk live with a former senior Secret Service agent, now ABC News contributor, about the attempt on the former president's life and the resignation of the director of the U.S. Secret Service.
So what do you think of that Packers helmet?
I'd say ill-advised.
In the wake of the stunning security lapses and the attempt on former President Donald Trump's life, the director of the U.S. Secret Service, Kimberly Cheadle, did resign Tuesday. Just as we enter this season where special agents not only have the duty to protect the sitting president, but now you have two candidates, high-profile candidates in the race, holding rallies all over the country. ABC News law enforcement contributor Don Mihalik is a retired senior Secret Service agent, and he's live with us this morning. Don, really appreciate your insight this morning. Can I just first ask you, your immediate reaction as you saw the assassination attempt on former President Trump, were you as stunned as the rest of the world with the lapses in security? Or could you, because of what you saw on the inside, have seen something like this coming?
Thanks for having me. I was shocked, of course, by the attempted assassination of former President Trump. I was shocked because, generally speaking, the Secret Service has a tremendous track record in keeping events and sites safe. And with former President Trump, he's done hundreds of these open rallies around the country with even larger attendances. And the Secret Service has been able to affect the security plan that mitigated all threats and kept everybody safe. So it was shocking to me to see what happened. I felt horrible for the agents that were there and the personnel that were there. Of course, part of me wanted to be there, and I, of course, felt horrible for the victims of the assassin's bullet. Those were my initial reactions.
Don Mihalik is a former senior Secret Service agent, ABC News contributor with us live this morning. So let me ask you about the news that we heard. Former President Trump has said they're not going to do outdoor rallies right now. We just had the vice president, Kamala Harris, was here in town. She was in a field house at a high school, but again, a controlled environment. Is that wise moving forward, particularly as we continue this investigation?
Well, so the Secret Service is not in a position to tell protectees what to do or where to go. Their job is to mitigate threats. Of course, it is much easier to mitigate threats in an indoor closed environment than in an outdoor open environment. It's historically just been easier. The Secret Service's protective methodologies are based on controlling everything. When something is not controlled, you have a problem, typically. So for the Secret Service, you know, President Trump making that announcement will just help them do their job moving forward. But ultimately, the Secret Service is about risk mitigation, not risk elimination. And they've been able to mitigate risks. They've taken President Trump when he was president to combat zones. They've taken Obama and Bush to combat zones. And they just took President Biden to Israel. So the Secret Service can do its job if the security plan is such that it has every mitigation factor in place and everybody involved in the security plan is doing their job.
Did everyone do their job on last Saturday?
Well, the reporting we have, and the Pennsylvania State Police Commissioner testified at a House Homeland Security Committee hearing yesterday, that apparently there was a pair of officers that were assigned to a post. In the Secret Service, a post is a fixed thing. They were assigned a post to watch and monitor that building that the shooter got on and those buildings. And what happened was is one of their local counter sniper teams observed the shooter with the rangefinder in the backpack, which has been widely reported. And then at some point, he disappeared from their view. So the local counter sniper team called that team, probably because they knew they're on the backside of the building, to go investigate. That team left post. So they left a gap. And they went off to try to find this individual, which they never did, until the public started screaming and shouting that there's a guy on the roof. So that is an area that the Secret Service, because the Secret Service owns the security plan. The Secret Service moving forward is going to have to look at how to best leverage, and they need the state and local partners to do their job. They have to look at how to best leverage personnel at all these sites in order to mitigate these risks. They also have to look at what are the instructions given to people to make sure they understand what their roles are. And then finally, from the reporting, there was a communication loop about this suspicious individual amongst the local law enforcement folks. The Secret Service didn't find out about the communication until almost it was too late.
Don, I know you got to run. ABC News contributor and former senior Secret Service agent Don Mihalik live with us this morning. Appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
Yeah, he's a popular guest this morning on radio programs all across the country, so we needed to cut him loose to get him to another appointment. But his point is well taken. These are coordinated efforts. It's not just Secret Service agents on the ground there. They're coordinating with, as we saw right here in Milwaukee, a local police, a local sheriff's office, state police, all these other contributors, and they got to find a way to talk to each other.
But if you're stretched so thin at some point where you're relying on local law enforcement, not that local law enforcement doesn't know what it's doing, but if you're relying so much on outside entities, outside agencies, does that open up the more possibility of error just because of the number of people being used, a variety of different people being used?
You know, the other question that you've raised, I think, is a good one. Was it right, maybe ultimately, for Kimberly Cheadle, the director of the U.S. Secret Service, to resign at some point? Maybe politically that was a popular talking point, but could she not have served a better purpose, at least in the short term, of not having this upheaval within the Secret Service,
right?
Because you have all these details that you still have to put out. On top of that, aiding in the investigation. You were there. You put together the plan. Like, could she not have better contributed, at least in the short term,
right? Yeah.
But politically, she just wasn't going to be able to survive. Brewers play-by-play man Jeff Levering joins us from Chicago in Brewers 360 at 7:45.
It was all caught on video, which makes this amazing. Two fishermen off the coast of New Hampshire say they are lucky to be alive this morning after they met with a whale.
Describe met with.
They encountered a whale. Is that
they
better?
Certainly did.
It was a whale of a tail, if you will. The whale, marine life experts believe, was probably lunging at its prey, but the boat got in the way.
The stunning encounter, a humpback whale exploding out of the water.
Everything seemed like in slow motion. It was really weird.
All 40 tons of it slamming down on the boat's stern, catapulting the two men into the water.
When I turned, the whale's head was already landing on the engine
and forcing the boat to turn completely over.
I saw it come up and I was just like, oh, it's gonna hit the boat.
Two teens who watched the surreal scene unfold quickly scooped the fishermen out of the water unharmed.
Yeah, it just kind of comes out of the water, lands on the boat, shoots the guys off, and it's all caught on video. Those teenagers are actually seen in the video and they go and help those guys out. I keep thinking about the whale. What do you think he's thinking? What in the world?
Nothing.
Was that?
Barely even saw it. You know how big the whale is, right? Barely even saw that. What's
it's
that?
A speck?
Yeah, you know,
something hit me?
The whales were there first. I mean, like, you don't want to have that happen, but you're actually in their house.
That's true.
7:38, this news report brought to you by Steinhoffels. Visit them at steinhoffels.com. U.S. Open tennis champion Coco Gauff will be the other flag bearer for Team USA in the Olympics. That news just breaking this morning.
Yeah, thank you for that.
She wasn't
waiting
right
whole week. Yes,
you were.
It seemed like a week.
Really interested yesterday.
Yeah, we thought Simone.
We had
Biles.
Simone Biles on our bingo card. Also, Katie Ledecky, the swimmer.
But Coco, she's going to be the youngest ever to hold the flag. So good for her. Other Olympic news: we have Salt Lake City hosting the 2034 Winter Games. They're going to do it again. They're running that back. They hosted once before. And then there's this. Does this sound familiar? Some 45,000 members of law enforcement are patrolling the streets. Another 10,000 soldiers are also there in Paris. Does that sound at all familiar to you? Kind of like what it was here a little bit.
But like times 10.
This guy, Tim Vanderwild, is visiting, of course, from the Netherlands.
I'm not really into the Olympic fight yet. I see a lot of police and military people, but
They're seeing a lot of police. Not really into the vibe yet, he was saying there. These people are from the Philippines. They can't even see the Eiffel Tower.
We have to get a restaurant near Eiffel Tower just to have a glimpse of Eiffel. And that's it. That's so...
I can understand that.
So what, they have like a perimeter or whatever?
Just very similar to what we're doing or what we did here in Milwaukee. You got gates, you got security barriers, you got 45,000 members of law enforcement. A lot of security, so you're not going to be able to get around Paris that easy.
We got Brewers 360 coming up next on Wisconsin's Morning News, 743.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Green Bay Packers take to the practice field 10:30 once again today. It's open to the public at Ray Nitschke Field. As for quarterback Jordan Love, still no word on a new contract deal and is not going to practice until he gets one.
If you want to see what a Packers alternate helmet may look like, Packers internet is buzzing right now about the potential. That's how you feel about it. It's white. It's a white helmet. Text the word helmet to 855-616-1620.
I want people to have to text Lord Helmet.
It'd take longer.
Okay.
And a lot of people spell helmet a different way, I noticed. Helmet, H-E-L-M-E-T. Just text it and we'll send you a picture. The Brewers win 1-0 thanks to good pitching and a Bryce Terang RBI single in the eighth inning. Same two teams today, this afternoon, from Wrigley Field.
Brewers 360 is sponsored by Holiday Automotive. And on Wednesday, we got play-by-play man Jeff Levering from Chicago. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, guys. How we doing?
I want to ask you about this. I was listening, not watching, last night, and Lane and Josh are next door in the radio booth talking about, after the rain delay, how they were inundated with bugs.
This was a bit of an issue for us last night, a bigger issue tonight, though. When the rain came in, the bugs moved their way into our booth. First pitch to Joey is low, and it's 1-0, and I mean a lot of them. We turned all the lights off in here so it wouldn't attract them, so it went next door to Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer's.
How did y'all deal with it in the TV booth?
Lights were off. Lights 100% were off. I will say Tim Dillard has been wiping bugs out of his beard for the last 2 days.
So that's a horrifying picture.
It's really, really bad. But we did basically a dark broadcast yesterday, but looking up at the ceiling was not a pretty sight because it was just a blanket of bugs. Pretty good stuff.
What kind of bug are we talking about?
Not quite midges, but a smaller version. Just bugs that are annoying. Not biting, not doing anything like that, but just really annoying.
I'm glad we got that cleared up. Is that a regular at Wrigley? I mean, that is an old ballpark. Have they touched even the broadcast booths in any of their renovations?
They have elongated them. They made them deeper, but not wider. So, they haven't done much to them. But I don't remember the bugs ever being this bad. We've had spiders and stuff like that in the past, but never any bugs of this nature. So, we'll see what happens today. Hopefully they stay away during the day game.
Should Brewers fans be concerned about Christian Yelich's back?
I mean, it's always something that he's been dealing with for the last few years. They've done a really good job of mitigating the injury, and he already spent some time on the injured list with it this year. There were some thoughts that because it's got some nerve issue this time around that he may have to go on the injured list. Pat Murphy intimated that after the ball game last night. it's a day-to-day situation with Yelly. As long as he can withstand the pain, he's going to be in there. But maybe this time it's gonna take an injury stint for him. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. Ballpark.
Brewers have had some success managing it, though, haven't they, Level, last season or two, where they've done given him that time, like instead of push through right now, maybe give him, whether it's a week or 3 weeks, I'd rather have him later than right now.
Yeah, you're right. And it's a situation where you want him in September when you're going through the push run,
right?
Rather than, hey, listen, give it 10 days right now, let it heal up. So we'll see. Again, it's whatever he can withstand. And as anybody who's dealt with a back issue before, it's all about pain maintenance. And it's not an easy thing to do. And he's done a really good job. The training staff's done an amazing job with him. We dealt with this with Brian Braun for a number of years with his back issue. But for Christian, you just want to make sure he's doing okay. And when it comes to nerves, I mean, all it takes is one little twist and that thing can really turn on you.
Brewers play-by-play man Jeff Levering with us on Brewers 360. 121st pitch in Chicago this afternoon. Thanks, Jeff.
You got it. See you next week.
In fact, I just looked over in between innings and Pat was like washing his arms with hand sanitizer because bugs are just all over you up here in the booth. We will absolutely swallow bugs tonight while we're on the air.
Listen, just because it was said didn't mean you had to play that part. Mark Tauscher on Wisconsin's Morning News is sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Tauscher out this week. ESPN Wisconsin's Jason Wilde is in. You dry out yet? My goodness, it rained and rained during Packers training camp practice yesterday. Monsoon-style rain, and they stayed outside, Wilde.
Yeah, never seen anything like it. So this is year 29 for me. I think there's two others that have done this longer. Tom Silverstein from the Journal Sentinel, who I think started in 89, and Pete Doherty from the Press Gazette, who started in 93. And the three of us were talking once we were no longer quite as waterlogged. And I don't think any coach during any of our tenures has ever kept the team practicing outside when the rain was that. I mean, it was nonstop for an hour, and there wasn't lightning. So I guess that was the reasoning, but I'm a helicopter parent. Tausch knows that better than anybody. He gives me a hard time about it. But I'm also a helicopter beat writer. And the whole time I'm thinking, God, what if all you need is one guy to slip, and it doesn't – I'm not saying like an ACL tear, but like slippery grass, suddenly you got a groin pull or a hamstring pull from somebody who's really important. I was surprised, and I know the players were very surprised that they stayed out there through the whole storm.
What do you suppose the point was? Is this like a character builder? Here you go, young men. Good. Why don't you experience this? I mean, what was the deal?
Just make sure that the media was miserable. I'm sure part
you
of it.
You know what, man? We wouldn't put it past them.
And that I got ridiculed because I had a really nice poncho and my umbrella from the 1996 hockey Final Four. I was being called by my colleagues a soccer mom. I look like a soccer mom at his kids' games, which I didn't appreciate, but I've been called worse, and I was drier than the rest of those knuckleheads, so I was pretty happy about that. Look, I do think that Matt LaFleur's thought process was, A, they didn't expect it to last as long as they did. Maybe if he had a do-over, he would change it. We'll ask him this morning. But B, hey, football's played in adverse conditions. And that was one of the conversations I had with the quarterbacks, with the long snapper, with the center, Josh Myers. And that is, you have to be ready for that kind of weather. It could happen during the course of the season. So I think that will be the explanation as to why they stayed out. I'm still not sure that it was worth the risk that there was to those players.
Jason, so Packers bloggers are all abuzz over the possibility of maybe a white Packers alternate helmet being used this season. What are you hearing about this?
So here's what's interesting about this, because for a while the NFL had this rule citing player safety that if you did a different uniform, you still had to keep your same helmet for safety concerns because guys are specially fitted for their helmets. And I heard that and I thought, well, just fit them for another helmet. Is that, you know, $15 billion company. Like, what are we doing? But so, yes, I know that there's a lot of excitement about that. I know there's other teams that have other helmet plans. I know, for example, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were finally able to wear the old Bucko Bruce helmet instead of their. What's interesting about this, though, is that, and I think you've heard the same thing, obviously this idea of these white helmets. The Packers, it's always throwback stuff when it comes to different uniforms, right? It's always reaching back into history. And there is part of me that would just love to see them do something really, really fun and futuristic. Instead, I know they've got a rich history, but it would be really fun for them to get to the point where they can do something kind of looking into the future and try something new.
I'm glad you said that because that's kind of how I look at it. Vince and I are a little indifferent on whether or not this helmet looks nice or not, but I just appreciate them trying something like this. Like, why not go for it? And you wear it twice maybe at most, and who cares?
Yeah, and it's funny. I think back to, you know, some of their throwbacks. I remember on Thanksgiving they had these like really ugly brown Pope colored pants.
Yeah, horrible.
And poor Mike Daniels sweated through them, and it looked like he'd had a bit of an accident on the field. But they still wore the weird yellow helmets. And then there was a time where they like painted them brown, so they looked like leather helmets.
Yeah.
I mean, this is fun. It's different, and anything that gets your fans excited, you need to do more of it, not less.
Okay, last thing for you, Wildy. Jordan Love. I mean, what's up, man? Day three.
He was soaking. Again, I know I praised him and talked about his teammates' support yesterday, but he was out there in the monsoon like the rest of us. Like he had the white t-shirt, long sleeve t-shirt on, and it was soaked all the way through. I will say this, the offense lost to the defense yesterday. And my favorite part of the practice was one of the defensive players, when the offensive guys had to do push-ups, somebody yelled, "Come on, Love, you got to do the push-ups too."
In fact, it's your fault.
And he did. All right.
Exactly.
ESPN Wisconsin's Jason Wildy instead of Mark Tauscher. Tausch is out this week. We'll talk again tomorrow, Jason.
Can't wait. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Heads up, if you would like to see what this alternate helmet may look like, just text the word helmet to the WDTMJ Talking text line, 855-616-1620.